Well, tonight, I just came with one verse. When I prayed and I asked the Lord, what do you want me to share tonight? He only gave me a scripture. So let's just open that verse and see what the Lord is going to say, what he's going to do. So let's just put our seatbelt and go on a journey. Is that okay? Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word. Let's open to Matthew 11, verse 28 and verse 30. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your people. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here sitting on, you are right here in our midst and in every one of us to teach us, to reveal to us your truth, to love on us, to correct us, to direct us, to help us, to guide us. So, Father, I thank you for tonight, and I thank you for what you want to do in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus is speaking in my Bible, it's in red, and he says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I love that Jesus here was giving an invitation for all of us to enter into his rest. And tonight, before I start, I want to encourage you and tell you that the Lord spoke to me and he says, the people that are coming here in this conference, you have faith. You already have faith. And you know, and why do I say that? Because when you look in the Bible and when Jesus, you know, he saw the multitude, the Bible said that he would go in on the mountain or he would go in the desert. And did you know that all of you, you've come up on the mountain? I don't know if you know that, but coming to Woodland Park is not the easiest thing to do. It takes faith. Finding lodging in this area, hallelujah. Driving through the mountain, I don't like to do it. And so the very fact that you have made the effort, paid the price, decided to set time apart, to buy a plane ticket, to find lodging, and to go in one a remote place on top of the mountain, up high, right there, you've already demonstrated faith. And I want to encourage you that your faith will produce a healing. And on top of that, the Lord showed me that this week, did you know that Bethel is in the desert? And you've got one from Bethel that was here all week. You had both the mountain and the desert coming together. So you guys are all ready to receive something. God is already setting you apart, and I know that you will leave with your healing. But when we talk about what Jesus says, glory to God. When Jesus, and on top of that, you are here tonight. You know, everybody can start something, but not everybody finishes. And you know, for the last few days, I was ministering to people one-on-one, and then they were telling me what was going on, and I was like, well, you know, are you going to be here Friday night? Because what I'm going to share, you're going to, I'm like, no, I'm not going to be here. And I don't know how many people, and I'm thinking, my goodness, on Friday night, I'm going to preach to half a empty room. But thank God you all are here tonight. You not only have started this healing journey, but you have chosen to finish it tonight. So you've got all the stacks that are right here on your side. You have faith. You have that perseverance to end and to finish what you started. So tonight I want to talk about rest. Jesus says, come to me, all of you who are weary, heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus is giving us here an invitation to enter into his rest. And you know, as I think this whole week, all the teaching that we got, I mean, it was power-packed. I mean, every speaker, every person, I was so, so blessed to listen to Miss Carrie giving such a simple yet powerful and deep illustration and explanation on spirit, soul, and body. I hope that every one of you got a hold of that. And then Andrew that taught on the power of imagination. And then glory to God for Daniel that talked about you've already got it. You just need to start to be conscious and acknowledge what you have. And then we have Miss Carly, a little bomb on two legs. And Bill Johnson, what a father in the faith. And every message was like another tool put in your toolbox. And I feel like this week is like God gave you a big empty toolbox, and through every person he gave you a tool. Something that will you can use, something that you can that will help you to go and engage into your healing journey. But I don't know about you, something about it when, you know, Fred is a builder. And you know he's got tools galore. Everywhere I turn, there are tools. And he buys more tools. And I'm like, how many more tools do you need? He loves tools. But you know, when Fred wants to put a nail in the wall, he doesn't use a screwdriver. And when he wants a screw, he doesn't use a hammer. And what am I trying to say is everything that you have received are different things for you that you're going to be able to use. But yet, so many times it can become overwhelming. And that sometimes I have that sense that some of you have heard so much. You got so much information, so much equipment, so many tools that it can become a little bit overwhelming. And sometimes it's like, okay, I'm going to meditate. Oh, no, I'm going to do this. Oh, no, I'm going to do that. And sometimes we can get into that place, especially if we feel like time is running out, where we can easily get and feeling overwhelmed and feeling like, what do I do? Okay, do I do this or do I do that? And we can feel sometimes like weary and striving into trying to get that healing. And Jesus sent us an invitation. And he says, come to me, all of you who are heavy laden, who are weary, who are striving, because I want to give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so tonight I believe this is the direction that God is wanting us to go to. To go to that place when it comes to divine healing, to enter into his rest. And not get into that place of striving, of working, of trying everything we can to get that healing. Because we can very easily, especially if we feel like we see many people getting healed and all of a sudden we feel like, how about me? And we can get into that mode of striving, of panicking and feeling wary. And so Jesus says, I have rest for you. And when I look at rest, it immediately brings me into the book of Hebrews. If you go to Hebrews chapter 4, the author of the book of Hebrews talks about a rest that belongs to the people of God. And so in Hebrews chapter 4, glory to God. And I will start with, let me look here. In verse 7, Again, he designated a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time, as it has been said, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. For there remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. Isn't that a good news? For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his own works, as God did from his. And then verse 11, he says, let us therefore be diligent. Another translation, let us labor, which sounds like a contradiction. Let us be diligent. Let us labor to enter into that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living, powerful, sharper than any edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Right here, the book of Hebrews is telling us that there is a rest of God for all of us. And Jesus, that's the invitation he sent us. He says, come to me and I will give you rest. For I know that sometimes your yoke is, your burden is heavy, your yoke is not easy, so come to me. And oftentimes when we think about healing and entering into the rest, we have that notion that we've got to be in a waiting mode, in a passive mode, waiting for God to do something. But could I suggest to you that that rest that is for every one of us, it's not a passive rest. And here it says, let us be diligent to enter into that rest. But when you look in that rest, the number one thing that the author says, he says, for one who enters into that God-given rest, it's going to stop, and I will paraphrase, from his own works. So you see, getting a hold of that healing that is on the inside of you, it's not going to be you in striving, doing, what do I have to do? What do I have to say? How do I have to do it? And all of a sudden you find yourself trying to do things to get healed. Because everything we heard this week was good, was powerful. We can do this, we can do that. It all seems good, but here is the thing. We can very easily enter into that place where in doing the good things, in doing those God things, we can make it our own works and get into works and striving and doing. And yet, all of a sudden, without realizing, we have removed ourselves from that place of rest that Jesus talks about. So what is that rest all about? What does it look like to enter into the rest of God? We just saw that we have to stop from our own effort in trying to get it done, in trying to get a hold of that healing. And first, I'd like to qualify that Daniel said it. It's already on the inside of us. And we're not trying to receive something. We're just trying to acknowledge that it's already ours. But even in that, how do we do it? When you look in the context of that passage in the book of Hebrews, the author shows us exactly what that rest is supposed to look like. He says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart. When you look at the context right here of that passage of entering and walking into the rest of God, both in Hebrews chapter 4 on two different occasions, and then in the chapter 4 on two other occasions, the author continually say, today, not tomorrow, not yesterday, not in a week. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. So what is that all about? It's an invitation for you and I to go to Jesus and enter into a relationship with the living God, because healing is not something we've got to get. Healing is a person. Healing is a person that lives on the inside of us. And Jesus is inviting us to go to Him and talk to Him and listen to Him. And you see, for me, this healing, because healing journeys, my healing journeys, will look different than your healing journeys. Have you noticed all the testimonies we've heard? Not is the same one, not one is the same as the others. They all got healed in different ways, at different times, in different forms. They all had their own God-made journey. And so for us to try to look at somebody else's journey of what God did in their lives and how He did it and said, okay, if I'm going to do that, then I'm going to get healed. We're going to enter all of a sudden in a striving, our own effort to try to get a hold of what God has already done. But here what we have is an invitation to enter into our own healing journey. And your healing journey is going to look different than their healing journey. Why? Because you are walking with the living God. Fred, come here a second. Welcome, I never know either. Jesus, and I love that. Healing is not about something we get. Healing is somebody we walk with and we live with. And that healing journey, it's going to be us learning to walk with God. And you notice what He says. Today, if you hear His voice, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. And for some of us, it's not going to be about trying to see what we can do and not do. It's going to be about leaning on God and drawing close to Him so we can hear His heart. And the closer we get to God, the closer we can hear His heartbeat for us. And the moment we draw so close to Him and we can hear His love and His heart for us, something will happen in us. We will hear His voice. Thank you, honey.
You're welcome.
We will hear His voice. And you notice it today. That is, to me, the key of entering into the rest. Not so much in what we have to do, but so much in who we have to walk, to come to Him. That's what Jesus says. Come to me. Come to me, and I will give you rest. Learn from me. That's what, you see, the best way for me. And when I look at my own life, and I always say, I said, I have healed. And people ask me, Audrey, how did you start in the healing ministry? And I always answer, I have killed the lion, I have killed the bear, and I killed the giant. The giant being the bone cancer. But every one of these journeys, these healing journeys, all look different. Yeah. It was not one size fits all. It wasn't a cookie cutter healing. It was me walking with God, having the Word deep into my heart, because Jesus is the Word made flesh, living on the inside of me, and Allah, and walking with Him, going to Him. For every healing, I look back, and it was always a going to Him. Drawing to Him, close to His heart, in that place of knowing that He loved me, that I was not a victim. I was called to be a victor, but I had to learn from Him. I had to listen to Him, because He says, today, if you hear my voice, do not harden your heart. And you know what those journeys look like? Not us having a big toolbox with a bunch of tools, thinking, okay, and now what? What am I gonna do? No, no, drawing close to God, listening to Him, and says, you see that tool, that's what you need. No, you need for that tool to do drywall, you're gonna need that. Oh, to screw a screw, you're gonna need that. And that's what, you see, the importance, and I love what Andrew said, meditating on the word. So the word, all of a sudden, it's become like a seed, like a sperm in your heart, a ground from that place where all of a sudden the Lord says, here it is, do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that. Because you notice the word says, the word of God is sharper that any two-edged sword to the dividing of soul and spirit. This morning on the first day, there was some soul separating of realizing that there was strife in some of you. Some others, there were unforgiveness. There needed to be a dividing of soul and spirit. And how did that happen? The Spirit of God working in you, exposing, revealing, and dividing. It's silent in this Catholic Church, Dominus Patre. And every one of my journeys has always been the Word and the Spirit. Never taking just the word, bringing in a scripture, confessing the scripture, and going. You know, it was never just the word, but it was the word and the spirit, drawing close to Jesus, to his heart, to his love, and allowing him to speak to me. For today, I hear his voice. Therefore, I do not harden my heart because I know that whatever he says, whatever he shows, whatever he exposes, whatever he directs, whatever he corrects, it's for my good to help me to get to that place of healing. And it's in that place of today I hear, of coming to him, hearing and obeying, that there is great rest. Because you see, the pressure is not on us. We are leaning. We are listening. We are close to him, just allowing him to do what he does best. But here is the key. Did you notice what the author of Hebrews says? Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. What does this mean? It means obey. It could look impossible. It could look stupid. It could look like it had nothing to do with the situation. It could look like, oh, I cannot do this, no. It could look impossible, but you see, this is where we learn to trust our Father because we've leaned upon his heart. We know he loves us so much that whatever it is he tells us to do or not to do, is to get us to that place of healing and victory and success. Not by our own works and our own striving and our own doing this, this, and that, but in us walking in that living relationship with the God who loves us. Allowing him the privilege and the opportunity to lead us into that place of healing and victory. Because I always, there's two verses that I love. In 1 Corinthians 15:57, it says, thanks be to God who always, not just sometime, who always gives us the victory. So you see, when you know how much God loves you and he has already healed you on the inside, then you are approaching that healing and that healing journey from a place of victory. The victory is already done. You know, I remember when the Holy Spirit, and that's what I love about him. How would you like for the Holy Spirit to warn you of something before the doctors even know about it? And that's what the Holy Spirit did for me. He would wake me up two nights in a row. And I finally got up, praying in the Spirit. That's why praying in the Spirit is huge. being filled with the Spirit is so important, because it will sharpen your heart, make you more sensitive to the voice of God and the Spirit of God. Because the voice of God is your lifeline to the truth. And it's the truth that sets free. And so he woke me up, glory to God, to tell me there is cancer in your body. Cancer was not on my radar. Never thought of it. I was 36, vibrant, strong. Never thought of it. But he told me. But right there with the warning, he gave me the solution. He told me, do this, don't do that. Don't do this, do that. It was like he was giving me a map that he had. It was like he had highlighted the word of God that was already in me. Because you see, I had spent years and years and years feeding on the word, building my life on the word, not so I knew more, but so that I could know him. And when he spoke the word of God, it was alive, and I knew it was from him. But long story short, after 9.5 months, without any treatment, but only under observation of CAT scan, bone scan, every kind of scan you can imagine, I was declared complete. And it was a metastatic cancer. It had spread to the spine after 9.5 months. How did that happen? It was a journey coming to him, allowing him to divide soul and spirit, to guide me, to lead me, to show me the path. And you see, it was easy. For 9.5 months, there was no striving. There was no trying. There was no sweating blood. He was just walking with him. He even told me, the joy of the Lord will be your strength. So it's okay to watch funny movies. Yeah. It seemed so unspiritual. Like another time, I had developed carpal tunnel syndrome, and I couldn't close my hand, do anything with my hand. And I prayed, exercise authority. We heard awesome things on authority. I even on my workshop, 2 hours of the ABCs of divine authority. And there is an album over there. Where was I at? The carpal tunnel. I was just trying to see if you were paying attention. Thank you, Ashley. And I prayed, exercised my authority. The pain left, but there was still a little tinge. So what did I do? I'm like, I exercised my authority. I spoke to the pain, to my arm. And I went and said, Lord, why do I still have a little tinge of pain? I don't get it. You know what the Holy Spirit told me? Drink more water, slow down on the sugar. I'm thinking, that seems way too unspiritual. But I did that. And within the next day, the pain was completely gone. But here is something that I want to get to, which is super important. Is whatever the Holy Spirit lead you to do or tell you to do, remember what the word says, to get in that place of rest, to see the miracle, the manifestation of what is already inside of you. It means you draw close to him, you go to him, you learn of him, you listen to him, and let him tell you, and you do not harden your heart. I don't understand. That seems too hard. What does this have to do? No, you don't harden your heart. There are so many things I had to do, I did not understand why, but I understood way later. When right there in my living room, the Holy Spirit told me, don't tell anybody you've got cancer. It made no sense to me, because the logic thing to do or the popular thing to do is to start a prayer chain. Let's have as many people as we can. And the Holy Spirit said, no, don't tell anybody you have cancer, but only 5 people that have faith and believe like you. And don't ask them to pray, but ask them to rejoice and thank God for your healing. These were my instructions. And I did, and it was years later that I discovered that the unbelief of others has the potential to stop your faith. So nobody knew about it. Nobody except 5 people. and they just celebrated God. But the thing that I know, that the key to those miracles, the keys to those healing, was being able to listen to what he told me specifically. What tool in my toolbox do I need? What would you have me do, Lord? Because you see, he knows your heart. He knows your circumstance. He knows everything that's going on. What can be seen and what is unseen. I remember one time I was in a church and there was a lady that came to me and asked me to pray for her. She said, I'm going to have a heart surgery. Audrey, can you pray for me? And I said, sure. And my first instinct was to go and pray that her heart would be healed at home. And the Holy Spirit stopped me and said, no, you better ask her what she's believing God for. Did you notice that Jesus oftentimes would say, let it be done according to your faith? So I stopped. I said, sister, what are you believing for? She said, I'm believing that I'm going to have a good surgery with that complication and that I will recover quickly. Different game. And here I was getting ready to pray my prayer. But there would have not been any agreement. You see what I mean? God knows. And so the ability for us to walk with a God that loves us, that is for us, never against us, that know the how to get to that place of rest and victory. Because I love that the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 2:14, thanks be to God who leads us to triumph, leads us to that place of victory. And I see so many people that are just trying to apply methods and formulas and keys to, and these are all good, but they might not be the tool you need for your healing. Do you know what I'm talking about? And so when God speaks to you, it requires you coming to him, leaning to him. And so many times, you know, and let me give you also another example that will illustrate that, because we are so human being. It's so part of the human making of us wanting to make methods and keys and print and just apply things. It's so human. And one time I was in Switzerland and there was I was teaching on healing and there was a young man, we were having lunch, a young man across from me. And he asked, he said, Sister Audrey, can I ask you a question? He said, my father was diagnosed with cancer. And he went to God, he prayed, and God just ministered to him and he got a miracle. But 1 year later, the same cancer came back. And my father did exactly the same thing that God had told him, and he died. Why? You know, I didn't have an answer at the time, and I was not afraid to tell him I don't know. But every question like that draws me to the Father to say, Lord, I want understanding. Could you show me exactly what happened there so I can help somebody else? And the Lord brought me in a verse in 1 Chronicles, I believe it's 14, where David was attacked with the Assyrian. And thank God he had learned a lesson. He went to God and said, God, what will you have me do? And God said, go to the mountain and attack the enemy from on high. And David did that. But you see, 3 verses later, same chapter, same people, same place, they attacked him all over again. The temptation would be, God told me to do that. Let's do it again. It worked. No. Thank God he went back to God and said, Lord, what would you have me do? Would you have me attack the enemy from on high like the first time? And God says, no, this time you will surround them around the mulberry tree. And he won again. And right there I saw the reason why that man died while he was healed the first time is because he went to the Lord. He drew from him and ministered to him and heard from him and did what the Lord told him to do. But the second time, what did he do? He took that word that was not today, but that was yesterday. He took that yesterday word and tried to apply it to today. And the yesterday word didn't apply to today, and it didn't work. Why? Because you and I are called into a living relationship with the living God. You do know? This is exactly what God has been wanting to do from the beginning. He walked with Enoch. He walked with Noah. He walked with Abraham. How did they walk? They walked and talked. Then talked and walked. They had a living relationship that God gave them what they needed for the day. And God instructed them, directed them, corrected them. And that is the same relationship he wanted to have with the children of Israel. But what did they say? Oh no, we're afraid, don't talk to us. Moses, you see, you go, then you come back and tell us. How many people today, they want to go to a conference and say, you tell me what to do. Just tell me what I must do to be healed. And yes, we are here to pour wisdom and pour knowledge and help you in that path. But down somewhere, we've got to know that we are walking with God to go to Him, because we have an open invitation to walk with the living God, to learn from Him, because His yoke is easy and His burden is light. And we can enter into rest because we are not striving to get healed. We are leaning on Him. Leaning our head upon His heart, leaning, listening, and doing what He says. And yes, sometimes what He tells us to do appears impossible and the hardest thing to do, especially when it comes to healing. Ask me how I know. That's kind of weak. Learning to listen to Him and obey, even when we don't understand. Oh, it's the hardest thing to do. I remember Fred and I were going to lead a team into the jungle in Guatemala. And we had prepared for months. We had trained our team. We were getting ready to head down to the jungle. And three days before, I start all of a sudden developing a high fever. And I feel like I want to throw up. And I've got sharp pain on my right side. And I feel like I'm about to pass out and faint. So what did I do? I leaned unto God. And just being quiet and listening to Him. And I had that peace, that sense that I was not to go to the doctor, but that I was to stay home. And I had that sense that if I went to the doctor, I would get entangled and got into a whole, you know, things of ending up having surgery. You know, sometimes when you're in a lot of pain, it's hard to make decisions. You know what I mean? And so I was there listening to the Lord, and I had that peace. It was not a stupid decision on my part. It was a God-led decision. Do you understand the difference? I did that because I heard from the Lord, not because I was afraid to go. And so I stayed home, and I called a friend of mine who is a nurse, and I said, you know what? Here are all the symptoms that I'm having in my body. And she said, oh, Audrey, don't play with that. It seems like you have an acute appendicitis, ruptured appendicitis. She said, you need to go to the ER. You need to have a surgery. And I knew, I'm like, devil, you're a stinker. You just think you're going to stop me from going on the mission field. You think you're going to stop us from doing what God has called it. You've got another day coming, devil. So I stayed home. But I was in a lot of pain. And now the fever is going high. And the whole night I'm in bed. My body is shaking. I'm sweating. And my pain is so sharp. But I'm like, okay, Lord. And I'm starting to lean onto the Lord, listening to Him. And that verse that Kenneth E. Hagin wrote, Mark 11:23, just came to my heart. It's amazing how the whole, when you build your life on the Word, the Holy Spirit will speak the Word to you. Because the Word is truth and the Word is life. Jesus is the Word. So it's always a relationship between the Word and the Spirit. If anyone speaks to this mountain and command it to be removed and cast into the sea and does not doubt in his heart but believe that whatever he say will be done, he will have whatever he say. And when you stand praying, believe that you received and you shall have it. Yeah. So that was my key verse, the verse that the Holy Spirit gave me that night. So all night long, I'm not sleeping a wink. I'm all awake all night long. And I'm looking at my husband, and he's sleeping.
I had the peace of God.
He had the peace of God. And I had the pain of the devil. But all night long, I took that word because that was a key verse that the Lord gave me. And all night long, I said, Lord, I thank you. I believe I received it. And I went on all night. And then I'm like, and then I heard the Holy Spirit says, Audrey, did you notice what comes after verse 24? Verse 25. And if you have aught against anyone, forgive, that God may forgive you. And I went, oh, Lord. I shook my husband. I said, honey, I forgive you. He had no clue what was happening. But I knew I had to let that go and not, because I was thinking, well, here I am. I'm suffering. I was entering into that self-pity. I'm alone, fighting alone. And let me tell you, if you take a victim mentality and you get into self-pity, you'll never be a victorious. I had to shake it off. It doesn't take long, a few seconds. He went right back to sleep. But the next morning, I had not slept a wink. And my husband looks at me and says, Audrey, you don't look good. I was white like a sheet. He said, you don't look good. He said, you know, it's Sunday morning, so why don't you stay home? Why don't you stay in bed? I'll go to church and I'll tell the pastor what's happening. And everything in me was like, yeah, I deserve it. And then I heard the Holy Spirit speak. Do you believe you have received your healing? Do you believe you heal? I'm like, Lord. He said, then what would you do on Sunday morning if you were well? I just want to sleep and rest. I got up, took a shower, went in the car, went to church. And I got there, the worship had started, and I'm sitting on the pew looking at everybody thinking, yeah, it's good. Good worship. The presence of God is here. But then I heard the Holy Ghost say, do you believe you are well? Yeah, I'm healed. Then what would you do on Sunday morning in church if you were well? Well, I love to worship God. So you know what I did? I got up and started to worship God with all of my might. And then, you know, the service ended. And then we got in the car and we drive and prayed. Genius looks at me, said, honey, do you want to stop and get a bite to eat, or would you like to go home? And I'm thinking to myself, that man is insane. Do I look like I want to eat? But then, of course, you know what happened? The Holy Spirit spoke, and he says, do you believe you are well and you received your healing? Then what would you do on Sunday morning after church if you were well? So I stopped in a restaurant. I remember it was an Applebee's. I ordered an Asian salad, Oriental salad, and then I was like looking and having a conversation with God. Lord, isn't it enough for me to be in a restaurant? Do I have to eat? And you know what I heard. What would you do on Sunday morning after church in a restaurant if you were well? And you know, sometime when God speaks to you and tell you to do things, Fred, come here. You see, when God, stand right here, right here. Sometimes when God tells you to do things and your flesh goes, and it feels like it's impossible, it's the hardest thing to do. But that is what faith is all about. It's a simple, childlike faith that knows that the Father loves us, wants the best for us, and he's having the Holy Spirit leading us step by step to that place of healing. And it just means that if today you hear his voice and that says, you're about to puke, you're about to throw out your stomach on the table, but it's okay. Eat every bite of it. And sometimes it just feels like, okay, Father. It feels like you're jumping off. Sometimes when God speaks to you, the Holy Spirit gives you instruction to get you to that place of healing. It feels like your flesh is dying. It feels like it's impossible. It feels like there is no way. But it's just like a child. You think you're over now? Retired or something? I know you just turned 70, but you're not retired. That is oftentimes what it feels like. And that is why having that hard relationship with God, when you lean on, and sometimes I meet people all the time that tell me, Audrey, what should I do to get healed? I've done everything. What do you, tell me what I should do. And oftentimes I tell them, why don't you take some time away? Close every distraction, close every noise. And shut yourself with God. Lean upon His heart. Open your Bible. Read the Word as a love letter to you. And just start talking to the Father, listening to Him. Come to me and learn of me, for I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And yet, it's easy and light, but to the flesh, sometimes it feels like faithful. It feels like if I do that, this is the end of it. Yeah. Have you ever felt sometimes God's told you to do something? I mean, Mike Esch, I guarantee you, when he had that big old thing there and he had that peace in his heart that he was not to go to the doctor, I guarantee you probably had those days where he thought like, really, Lord? And it's not a matter of doing this or doing that. It's a matter of today, if you hear His voice, don't harden your heart. Don't not even try to understand. Just trust a childlike faith in a Father who loves you. And that requires, you see, I love it because that is the key for miracle. That is the key. Do you remember how the first miracle happened? The first miracle happened when they ran out of wine. And what did Mary say? You see that guy over there? Go to him. And whatever he tells you to do, do it. And they went there and said, just fill the pot with water to the top. Take a cup, go and show it to the master of ceremony. Can you imagine what those servants felt? Oh my gosh, my job is on the line. Getting a cup of water to a master of ceremony, it makes no sense. My job, I'm about to lose my, but yet they heard, they obeyed, and on the other side of their hearing and obeying, there is a miracle. And I love that in Acts chapter 9, verse 6, when Paul just entered into his new relationship with God, the first thing he said, Lord, what will you have me do? Hallelujah. So tonight, I know, oh, hallelujah. And I only had one scripture. Glory to God. This is what we're going to do. If you need healing tonight, because I saw your hand, you said, I don't have it. I'm going to ask you to stand up. And you know the beauty, what I'm sharing with you is not, doesn't go against anything else that we heard. It is just the key to be able to apply everything else you heard as the Spirit leads you. But to, oh, look at all that. Oh, my Lord. But many of you, you have not seen the manifestation of your healing because you believed, oh, I've got it. Healing is in me. But you've never asked the Lord, Lord, what will you have me do? I've got it. I believe I'm well. I believe I received it. But Lord, what will you have me do? So this is what we're going to do. Believers around, I'm going to ask you to stand up and lay hands on those people. If you need healing, raise your hand, because not everybody. Okay, if you see somebody with a hand raised and nobody is praying, so now you know enough. You're going to find out in a very short time what is wrong with them. And then you're going to speak to the problem. Would you be willing to listen to me in one little minute? Because I see, yes, just find out what's wrong in a very short time. Don't need to have a big essay on it. Then you speak to the problem. You speak to the problem, to the issue, to the body in a very simple, short way in the name of Jesus. But then those of you who have received the anointing in your body, then you're going to have to close your eyes, ask the Lord, Lord, now what will you have me do? How will you have me? What will you have me do? I'll just leave it at that. And whatever he tells you to do, the first thing that comes and that you feel, whoa, that didn't come from me. I would not have thought. The first thing, whatever he tells you to do, start doing it. Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart, but just do it. If you have to run, run. Like Colin the other night, he went, took off running. What if he had said, I'm just going to stay seated, I'll check it later. No. Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. But just do. Are you ready? Go ahead. Lord, what will you have me do? Hallelujah. What will you have me do, Lord? And what he say to do, just do it. Just do it. And if you start and you see as you do it, you see, it's not work, it's just obedience. Hallelujah. And if you see in your body, you start seeing something happening, something good, you say, God is healing me. I can see something. I can feel a difference. Just raise your hand. If you said something good has happened, raise your hand. Yes, keep your hand raised. Something good has happened. You don't need to be praying for 25 hours, sister. Just speak to it. Just speak to it. Hallelujah. And then ask the Lord, what will you have me do? What will you have me do? And whatever he said, just do it. Start doing something. Raise your hand. Where was that lady? If you see something good happening in your body, start raising your hand. That's okay. In the name of Jesus. Okay, if something good has happened to you, could you raise your hand? Anybody? Come down. If something, if you see there is an improvement in your body, raise your hand. Come on. Come, sister. Can I have a microphone? If you see God done something and you can see there is improvement in your body, come over here. We're going to take a few. We don't have a lot of time, and we're going to take a few. What happened to you?
I've been fighting with pain in my abdomen, and as they were praying, the pain is gone.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen.
There was stiffness in my back, and I heard the Lord say, just do jumping jacks. So that stiffness left, and then you called out blood issues, which is something else I needed healing.
In the name of Jesus, I call healing in your body. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If he's done for one, he'll do for both.
I asked for healing for my thyroid and my back, and I just feel really, really hot all over.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. The thyroid, I have seen thyroid grow back multiple people. I've seen people who did not have ovaries and their ovaries grew back. Their thyroids grew back. Somebody asked me, you know, can organs that have been taken out, can they grow back? I say, yes. We've seen it multiple times. What happened?
I was having muscle spasms earlier and the man prayed for me, and I could bend down, I could stand up, and I have rods in my bones, and my back's been broken. I could feel nerves in my fingers even growing back, like I couldn't, had paralyzed or paralysis in this arm, and I could feel tingling in my fingertips, yes, which I never had before.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Hi. So I didn't have anybody pray for me, but the last song that they sang in the worship song, and then when you spoke the word, come to me, all those who are heavy laden and burdened, I just felt a lot of trauma, and I've had migraines for a long time, and just stiffness in my neck and my muscles, and I just felt the Lord say to me, I'm getting rid of that. Like, I'm canceling that. It's gone. And I've got so much more. I have no tension in my neck. And in my ear, it's gone. And in my muscles in my back, I just feel so much peace. And I haven't had that in so long.
Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Come to me.
Ringing in my ears, and I'm not hearing it right now.
Praise and no longer more.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Come to the center.
My knees were hurting, and I couldn't, like, bend them like this without it, like, either feeling tight or hurting really bad. And I can do it now.
Do it now.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
What did the Lord tell you to do? To start moving.
Start moving my knees in the places where I couldn't.
It's gone.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hello.
What happened?
I had an accident in Egypt 40 years ago in a car, and people were killed. I broke my neck, and since then I've always been in pain. Recently I had an operation on my neck. It was not a success. everything that I am suffering has baffled the medical world. You know, I was supposed to have another operation at the end of...
What happened tonight?
Tonight, I received some benediction from the Almighty.
So what happened tonight? You started to feel more movement? You got feelings back in your fingers and your neck?
Yes. Hallelujah.
What happened in your neck?
I had an operation here, and then I was supposed to have another one, and someone in my...
Did you have pain in your neck?
Oh, yeah, much, yeah.
How bad now?
No, it's okay now. Right, but I was supposed to have another operation.
No, but let me... Okay, you had pain?
Yes.
And now you don't have pain?
No.
No more?
No, not here, no. Not
in
anymore.
Jesus' name.
Yeah.
Look up. Look down, look right, look left. A pain?
No.
Hallelujah! Start moving.
This is my next mission is to improve my upper body movement.
So Father, we thank you right now, in Jesus' name, that he can lift his arms up and down with no pain. We call every stiffness in his arms, shoulders, and neck. Stiffness, you go. Pain, you go. We declare right now flexibility and movement. Could you do that before?
No.
You couldn't do that before?
No.
Do you have pain?
No, not anymore. Slight pain, but not like...
Well, we declare no more pain. And we thank you, Lord, for the movement right here in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Keep doing it. Keep asking, Lord, what will you have me do? De rien. Amen. Hey, sweetheart.
So I'm a dancer, and I had collapsed arches. And tonight, I just felt my arches lift back up.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Can you show us what you... Just what you could...
I couldn't go on my toes without feeling pain, and now I feel no pain.
And hallelujah.
I had melanoma and had...
You
surgery.
Have what?
Melanoma. I had melanoma cancer and had a tumor removed, and... They removed, it spread, and they removed lymph nodes, and my leg swells and gets really tight to where I can't bend, and I'm back in shoes, and I just felt the Holy Spirit. I just had so much joy, just...
And what is happening? What can you...
Well, I can, like, this swells, and it's going down. It looks more like
the swelling.
Swelling has gone down?
Uh-huh. And
I can that
not without pain.
So you have pain now?
No.
And
no
you
pain.
Have...
No.
Hallelujah.
No pain.
Can you... Could you... what were other things you could not do before?
Well, I mean, even for, like, a creative miracle, because it's... kind of been mangled by surgery, and I have like nerve damage, but I'm not feeling it as much. You know, it used to have weird sensations. It just feels better and more.
Father, we thank you right now in Jesus' name. Lord, what you started in her, this peace and this joy. Thank you for the anointing working in her to completely heal her. Lord, that what you have started, you finish it. So, Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name, no pain. No pain. No pain. Hallelujah. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Finishing her. Thank you for your anointing all over her. All over her. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Hi. Hello.
Hi.
I'm Christine. 5 years ago, I was diagnosed with a severe rheumatoid arthritis, and it's gotten to the point, it's so severe, they want me to be on new medication that they give to extreme cancer patients. And I refused to take that because I told them, no, like, I'm not doing that. And then this morning, without my medication, I can't even walk or talk or raise my hands. And I used to play guitar, and I used to sing, and I miss it. And so this morning, I got prayed over, and I started to be able to move my hands like this for the first time in a really long time. So I'm excited to go try to play guitar again. And then I'm just believing for healing. But on the drive up to the mountain, I live in Loveland, but I heard the Lord tell me this, and I feel like it's a word for every person here that needs healing. He said to me, on this mountain, I will be healed, and I will be healed forevermore. And on this mountain, you will be healed, and you will have healing forevermore. And I know it's still in my body, but God told me to throw away my medicine before this service, and I did. It wasn't because a person told me. I'm believing in faith for total healing.
Amen. You follow
me. So what I need more healing, but I already have it. It's already begun.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You see, yeah, the Lord spoke to you.
Yes. Thank you.
Amen. Hey, brother.
My brother's prayed for a neuropathy in my feet that the doctors diagnosed because of years of drinking alcohol. And I was just waiting, trying to hear what the Lord wanted me to do. And he finally did say, go up and run. That's the first time I've run in 40 years.
Amen. Let's go on a run. Come on. Hallelujah. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah.
I don't have any pain in my feet, but I have a sensation that is not normal. I feel like my toes are being strangled. It's
because
not normal.
Because it's being stretched?
I know. It's still left over from the neuropathy or whatever it is that I have. Well, and I am not leaving here with neuropathy in my feet.
Amen. So continue in Jesus' name, neuropathy, we cancel your assignment. We command every nerve, every ligament, every toes, every muscle in those feet to be healed and whole in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hey, sweetheart, I remember praying for you this morning. What happened?
I've had Crohn's and colitis for 10 years, and I'm just believing that God healed me.
Yeah. Amen. Father, I thank you. What he has started, he finishes it. Mm-hmm. Amen. Can you tell is it a declaration of faith that you just said amen? Well, let us just agree in Jesus' name that it took a lot of courage for you to come up front, didn't you?
Yeah.
You just felt in your heart the Lord was telling you, come forward and tell it to everybody.
Yeah.
That was your obedience to what the Lord was telling you to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And on the other side of your obedience, what will they be?
Healing.
Healing. A miracle. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Anybody else? I think we're good. Hallelujah. 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 There is still something happening there. Glory to God. Glory to God. You see, I have seen people, like I said, whose ovaries and thyroids grew back. I've seen people in incurable disease healed. People in wheelchair, coming out of wheelchair, because with that simple question, Lord, what will you have me do? I believe I'm healed, but Lord, what will you have me do? And the simple, simple act of obedience to this leading of the Spirit. On the other side of it, there is a healing and there is a miracle. I just bless you and I pray, Father, in Jesus' name. If you have blood issues, put your hand on your stomach. I command right now every blood issues to be healed in Jesus' name. If you have thyroid problem, put your hand on your thyroid. I command every thyroid to be healed. If they took your thyroid, I command it to grow back in the name of Jesus. in Jesus' name. If you have chronic headache, chronic migraine, put your hand on your head. And I command that assignment to stop in Jesus' name. And I command your head to be healed. Chronic migraine, stop and go in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless you.